Good morning. Before I go any further and give the notices for next week, Carol would like to come and say something about the quiz last night.
Good morning. We had a brilliant night last night. We had really good fun. Neil and Avril's team won the quiz. I did very well, and they got some Easter eggs as prizes, and then we had Jill's team got the booby prize, and they had some lemons, but they were very nice lemons, and I think they went down quite well, so we all had a great time and enjoyed having some food and some fellowship together. And everybody was very generous, and we ended up making £37, which, I mean, the idea wasn't to necessarily make money. It was just to enjoy the fellowship together. But because obviously different people had different amounts of food, we all charged the same price. Refunds were offered, but everybody declined it. So because of that, that's why we've managed to make so much money. So thank you very much to everybody. And that money will be going towards the Garden of Hope. So the money that we get from Tesco's eventually, we'll be adding that to that. So thank you very much.
We've got a card here from Catherine, who normally sits at the back. She's actually gone to a church in Manchester, did you say? Memorial service in Manchester this weekend. Now, Catherine's got no surviving mother and no family, and she wanted to wish people Happy Mother's Day. So she sent us a card, and it's to all the mothers in our church. Okay? So it says, sending love specially for you on Mother's Day, and that's from Catherine. So when you see Catherine when she comes back, it might be nice to say thank you. The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Tuesday, the 12th of March, church members' meeting will be held at 7:30 p.m. in the Jubilee Hall. On Wednesday, the 13th of March, the prayer meeting will take place at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the 15th of March, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall. Alongside the craft group, we will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by Roger Gadsby at 11 a.m. and worship warriors will also meet in the Jubilee Hall. It's my pleasure to welcome you, Ian, this morning, and I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be with you again, and a rather dreich morning, as we say in Scotland. But we will rejoice in the Lord's presence. In the letter we know as 2 Timothy, Paul wrote this to his young friend. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You've heard of the X factor, I guess. Well, this is the M factor, the mother factor. It's also the GM factor. That is to say, the grandmother factor. So who can measure the influence of a godly mother and indeed a godly grandmother? And today, in a special way, we honour the influence of the M factor and the GM factor, and we give God the thanks. Our opening hymn, if you're using Songs of Fellowship, in print, it's number 405. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices.
Things hath done in whom his
Now let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come into your presence with praise. You alone are worthy of our worship, for you alone are God, and all that we have comes from you. Without you, nothing is worth anything. As we think about the wonders of creation, we recognize you as our great creator. In the midst of our weakness and frailty, we see your power. Lord, we recognize your faithfulness and provision as we see the signs of new life springing up around us in all their beauty. All we have needed, your hand has provided. We recognize your wisdom in the order of the universe, the splendor of the heavens, and the mysteries beyond what the human eye can see. In the midst of our foolishness and chaos, we acknowledge your wisdom. We recognize your grace, Lord, in the plan of salvation, fulfilled in the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of our sin and sorrow, we thank you for your grace. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and action, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, bringing glory to your name. And these things we pray and ask for your love's sake and in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about God's love, our next hymn reminds us of the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Again, if you're using the book, it's number 968.
Holy.
Just looking around to see if there are children here today.
To... Not yet.
Not yet. Well, they will go out as they come in, as it were. We're going to have our Bible reading from the Old Testament, first of all, this morning. And it's in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, and reading verses 1 to 15. So Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading from his word. Our next hymn is based on the words of a very special mother, the Virgin Mary, in her song of praise in Luke chapter 1. And we will sing it to, there's more than one tune, but hopefully you will know this tune and Dave will be happy playing it. And again, we'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Take up the offering. Let's join together again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your generosity and good gifts to us. We thank you most of all for giving us our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us as you gave him to us. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who enriches our hearts and opens your truth. Lord, we cannot enrich you in any way with these material gifts, but we pray for your blessing upon them. We pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to be generous, not only to you, but to all with whom we come in contact. And Lord, we pray that these material things may be transformed into spiritual blessings by your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament Bible reading is from the first letter of Peter, and chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 12. Various instructions have been given to various categories of people, and we're sort of in the middle of that. So the first words throw us into a different category of wives being addressed. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And may the Lord bless to us this reading from his own word. Well, it won't have escaped anyone's notice that today is Mother's Day. And so in our next prayer, we are going to focus on the significance of this day. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ was born of a human mother and that he was brought up in an earthly home in Nazareth. We thank you for his example, that he was humble and obedient to his parents. Lord, you know all about the joys and sorrows of family life. You know and understand. You can intervene and help. Today we thank you for our own mothers, those who nurtured and cared for us even before we were born, those who loved us and made sacrifices for us, who spent time with us and entered into our world. Today, Lord, we ask for your blessing on all the mums here, and we pray for a greater appreciation of motherhood. Help us not to despise those who are called to this great responsibility, but to honour them. We want to help them and not to hurt them. May they know that we love them and want to make them happy. Forgive us, Father, when we have been irritable and bad-tempered, impatient and selfish, when we have said unkind and hurtful things that have gone deep and been hard to forget. Forgive us when we have been thoughtless and made extra work, when we have taken our mums for granted. We pray today for your blessing on them. Show us how to give them happy memories of our love and appreciation. And as we give thanks and pray, we ask you to be very near to those for whom this is a sad or a difficult day, for children who have lost mothers, for mothers who have lost children, for those who have had an unhappy childhood, for those who have longed for the joys of motherhood and been denied, for those who see their loved ones struggling with weakness and pain. We pray for those who today will be forgotten and not shown any signs of love. And in these moments of quietness, we lift up before you those who are especially in our thoughts and on our hearts today. Lord, as a church, help us to care for one another, as your word instructs us to look after widows and orphans, and to mirror in our lives the love that we find in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we turn again to God's word for today, we're going to sing Loved with Everlasting Love, Led by Grace, That Love to Know. It's number 452 in the book.
I'll play it all the way through because it's not familiar. Well, I can play it, but anyway, just if you put the first verse up, I'll play it all the way through, and when I've done that, stand up and we'll. It's easy to pick up, so.
Good. Our New Testament reading this morning was from 1 Peter chapter 3, and it began in this way: Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. I suspect many people today would dismiss this part of Scripture as outdated and irrelevant. The previous two centuries have seen great advances in the emancipation of women. Are these verses from the New Testament simply turning back the clock, turning it back in a way that's unhelpful? Well, before we jump to that conclusion, let's look closely at what these verses are saying. But first of all, what they're not saying. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. This is not advocating a mindless denial of women's freedom, and it's not endorsing a bully boy, laddish immaturity among men. Another possible stumbling block could be the words "in the same way" that begin the verse. In the same way. In the same way as what? As slaves to masters? Earlier in chapter 2, verse 18. No. In the same way as everyone is to be submissive, going back to chapter 2, verse 13, where we read, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake." And this agrees with Paul's teaching in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." As to the Lord. And when we become a Christian, this is the relationship which is most significant and affects every other. That Jesus is Lord, Jesus is my Lord, and that influences every other relationship which I have. It matters most. Well, other relationships are important, but the number one relationship that determines every other is your relationship with Jesus, your Lord. In this chapter, Peter talks directly to wives, and he talks about things that matter to women. Now, you may be saying, how do you know anything about that, Ian? Well, I guess having read this, I think Peter did know a thing or two. What are the things that matter to women? And I'm going to suggest from these verses three things: communication, beauty, and security. So let's start with communication. You know the old joke, what are the three fastest forms of communication? Telegraph, telephone, and tell a woman. Well, the fact is that women are far better than men at communicating. They need to express their feelings, whereas men tend to bottle things up. And that's just one of the ways in which we've been made differently. And of course, when it comes to communication, the real experts are children. They just blab everything out. But in the adult world, women are far better than men when it comes to communication. In the situation that Peter was writing to, he was aware of women who had become Christians, but who were married to men who were not converted. And some of these women had tried to win their men for Christ, but with words. And they'd had no success. And there was a danger that by persisting, they would only annoy their husbands. They'd rub them up the wrong way, and in so doing, put them off completely. And Peter's advice is this: communicate by your attitude. Communicate by your behavior. Communicate by your purity. Communicate by your reverence. Don't be rebellious, be submissive. And if you haven't struck oil, stop digging. But don't stop loving. Let your attitude and your actions do the talking. And they will be won over, as the scripture says, without words. Communication. The second thing that matters to women and which Peter latches on to is beauty. I don't think anyone could deny that this is a subject that women are interested in. What does Peter have to say about it? Well, something negative, something positive, and something illustrative. So let's start with the negative in verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Now again, we have to avoid a misunderstanding. This is not saying that jewelry and makeup and fashion are wrong for for the Christian. Although when I was growing up, English or British Christianity was being invaded by America, and Billy Graham was on the scene and holding his campaigns, and I can remember my mum and dad's shock when they found that these American ladies were wearing quite a bit of makeup. And my mum and dad were brought up in a culture where that was very worldly. Well, I think probably things have moved on a bit. I don't think Peter is actually saying that here. He's not saying, certainly, that jewellery and makeup and fashion are wrong for the Christian lady. He's not saying that the dowdier you are, the better you are as a Christian. What he is saying is that outward beauty is not everything. Here are some words from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And then here's another one which I hesitate to quote, but I'm going to, in danger of being lynched as I go out. But it is in the Bible. Proverbs 11, verse 22. A beautiful woman who shows no discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Well, I don't know whether the person who wrote that got out alive, but anyway, there it is in Proverbs. But coming back to Peter, he says specifically what he means. He's talking about ridiculously extravagant hairdos. He's talking about outrageously expensive jewelry and an obsession with clothes that is out of all proportion. Now, of course, congregations, like any congregation, were very mixed, and some people were very poor. And the danger is that people who were very rich would kind of swank in, almost showing off just how rich they were. And Peter says, no, that's not what it's all about. If you want to be beautiful, he says, and that's not wrong, that's not the way to go. So what is? Well, verse 4 brings us from the negative to the positive. Rather, your beauty should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Your beauty should reflect the hidden person of the heart. As the proverb reminded us, outward beauty is fleeting. It fades and disappears, but true inward beauty does not. In fact, it increases and lasts even beyond death itself. What is this inner unfading beauty then? It's the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, quiet here doesn't mean silent. It means serene, calm, unruffled. And Peter tells us that this is of great value in God's sight. I'm sure you're familiar with the L'Oreal adverts, because you're worth it. L'Oreal can give you lipstick and mascara and moisturizer and everything you need for outward beauty. But the Christian woman has access to a different kind of beauty, everything you need for inner beauty. And God says, because I'm worth it. When the manufacturers of cosmetics want to sell their products, they bring on the best-looking models to show them off. My wife's always commenting about these adverts that come on to stop wrinkles and all such things. You know, these really young, sort of almost teenage girls and very young women coming there and advertising them. And there's a bit of kidology there sometimes. But that's the way the advertisers work. They bring on good-looking models. And Peter has some models to show off the kind of beauty that God wants, to illustrate God's preparation for inner beauty. Verse 5, For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. So we've got the whole range of Old Testament ladies that we can look to. And Peter says they were submissive to their own husbands. And then I find that Peter has a supermodel to bring on, and he brings her on to the holiness catwalk, as we might call it. And it's from verse 6. Like Sarah. Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now, these verses might conjure up a picture of a subservient, downtrodden lady in a mob cap saying, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. But if we think like that, we are very much mistaken, because Sarah wasn't like that at all. In Genesis chapter 18, which we read earlier, we see her having a giggle about her and her old husband having a baby. And in chapter 21 of Genesis, there's an interesting incident where Sarah has to get very forceful about Hagar, who in effect was the other woman. Abraham wasn't perfect, but Sarah respected him and was faithful to him. She had that inner beauty that Peter is talking about here. And so in verse 7, Peter turns to the third thing that matters to women. We've thought about communication, we've thought about beauty. And the third thing is security. Security in relationships. And at this point, Peter turns from the wives and speaks to the husbands. I find that interesting. He says, come on, men, I've got something to say to you as well. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. In the same way, and again we ask, in the same way as what? In the same way for the Lord's sake. There are two instructions to husbands. Be considerate and treat your wives with respect. As well as the two instructions, there are two descriptions. Descriptions of a wife. The weaker partner, we'll come back to that, and those who with you inherit the gracious gift of life. And there is an added incentive so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The first instruction then is be considerate, literally living together according to knowledge. What a great description of married life. For husbands, marriage is a voyage of discovery, not insisting on what I want and what pleases me, but finding out what my wife wants and pleasing her. There's an old song that captures what Peter is saying here. Some of you may remember it. Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Getting to like you. Getting to hope you like me. So that's the first instruction. Be considerate and treat them with respect. So the second instruction, treat them with respect in your words, in your actions, in your gestures, I'm talking to the men still, when you're with other people. One of my lasting memories from childhood was visiting a family where the husband was constantly criticizing his wife, making snide remarks about her. And even as a child, I remember feeling embarrassed and uncomfortable. And Peter tells it straight, husbands, treat your wives with respect. And so to the descriptions. Here we go. A wife is described as the weaker partner. Literally, the weaker vessel. Now, a vessel is just a container. Any kind of container, that's what's meant by the word vessel. And again, that doesn't sound very complimentary, does it? But think for a moment about two vessels, two containers. And I've sometimes done this literally in a service, but I wasn't sure what the furniture was like here because I nearly damaged some church's furniture. So you have to imagine this. Imagine what's happening. One of the vessels is a metal bucket, which is used for carrying cement. And the other is a very delicate china ornament. So one you would keep in a garage or a tool shed, and the other you would have up in a very special place. So you use the drop test to find which is the weaker vessel. And so you get the bucket, heavy bucket, let it go, clang. And then you get the delicate ornament. And you've got a lovely carpet here, so I would possibly have been all right. You get a delicate china ornament that is very precious to your wife. No, you don't drop it because you know what would happen. You get the picture. Which is the weaker vessel? Is it the bucket or is it the precious ornament? And husbands, which would your wife prefer to be compared with? There is a kind of security that women crave, and it's not entirely in their power to guarantee. It's up to us men to give it to them. And that's at least partly why our society is in such a mess today. Because people enter into relationships without security. And divorce has just become so easy and cheap. And then both husband and wife are described as joint heirs of the grace of life. Married life isn't all chocolates and roses. We all make mistakes. We all let each other down. We all need God's grace. The grace to admit you're wrong and to say sorry. The grace to forgive, husbands, when your wife says sorry to you. And then finally this line, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. Marriage is a spiritual partnership, a shared ministry. We must all submit to one another, submitting in the Lord and submitting to the Lord. So what matters to women in general and mums on this day in particular? Good communication, genuine beauty, and rock-solid security. And it's these that will make a marriage work. It's these that will make a family work. And best of all, it's these that will give glory to God and be a witness to the watching world. Amen. Our final hymn is going to be from Songs of Fellowship 1448. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. And we'll remain standing for a closing prayer.
Thank you.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace has given us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And may the Lord of peace himself give us peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with us all. Amen.